It's rolling. Yeah. All right. All right. If you're just joining us on the recording, we've been talking for all of 3 minutes, and we just remembered that we weren't recording. So thank you for joining us. We're talking about the men tonight. We started with this verse, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong. So we're talking about what that means. What does it mean to act like a man? What does it mean to be masculine in nature? And we said the determination, the will to overcome obstacles, ability to fight, broad shoulders are good. God has given those things to men, and he expects men to use them. So if you are a man, that means God has made you one. He expects you to act like one. God has given you work to do in your life. We want you to know what your mission and purpose in life is. We want to see you thrive, to learn how to exercise dominion. Last time we looked at Genesis 1, 28. It says this, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. There's one author who said we could paraphrase this verse this way. You could say that God said, let us make someone to stand in our place and let him rule, 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 and rule. Right? Make man in our image. Subdue the earth. Rule. Have dominion. Rule. Over the fish. Rule. Over the birds. Rule. Over every living thing that moves on the earth. Rule. Mankind is to exercise dominion over the earth. We are to master the world. We are to subdue it. We are to make it thrive and grow like the garden. And all godly rulership in this world has to start with self-rule. So note this well. Exercising godly rulership does not mean macho-ness. It doesn't mean arrogance or demanding one's way. There's a huge difference between domination and dominion. We are to exercise dominion. We want to learn how to do that as men. So not only does it not mean arrogance, it also does not mean that we all have to look the same. Those of us in this room all have different personalities. We got different jobs, different passions, different strengths, different ways of doing things. That difference is good. But what we do have in common is this bond of masculinity that unites us in a real way. Whether you're a lumberjack in the bush or an accountant in the office or a lumberjack on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and an accountant the rest of the time, we share a bond of masculinity. And we are to be true men in all these areas. And so for those of you 13 and up, when we start this, we want to be teaching what it means to be a man according to the Word of God. Men, we want you to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We want you to know the joy of pouring out your life for those whom you love. We want you to be holy and strong. We don't want you to scrape along in faith or in your life, just barely surviving, discouraged or miserable, settling for whatever comes easiest. We want you to thrive. And because we want you to thrive, what we are not going to teach you is how to watch TV. We know how to do that, right? We don't need teaching there. We're not going to teach you how to find the best angle for your selfies. The trick is folding your phone up, but I will say no more. And we are most certainly not going to teach you how to get in touch with your feminine side. I have a feminine side. Her name is Marcella. That's my feminine side, and Lord willing, that's all the femininity that you will get from me. And that's a beautiful thing. Men, we want you to be confident in trials and competent in the Word to face whatever battles you come up against in life. We want you to know how to laugh in the face of difficulty, how to lift burdens you never thought you could bear. God has made you strong, and He has called you to strength. We want you to be able to joyfully open the Word with your families, lead them in worship. We want you to love, passionately your wives and your children, not begrudgingly or reluctantly, but with passion. We want to help equip you to bring to build productive households that are filled with life and activity and joy. So yes, we're aiming high. But where else are you going to aim? Why in the world would we aim low? When Elijah told King Joash in the Old Testament to bang the arrows on the ground, if you remember that story, he wasn't supposed to obey just a little bit. God wants fervency from the men. He wants passionate manhood. So yes, we are aiming high. Unashamedly so. So we need to understand what a husband's authority is and its limits. We want to understand a man's life role in life in the church, self-control over our own lives and bodies. We want to look at the threat of effeminacy and the mistake of egalitarianism that is so prevalent in our society. Here's a statement to remember. When a man fears God, he fears nothing else. So as a point of reference for us, I'm going to briefly identify three categories of study under which most of these things will generally fit. It's no means exhaustive. There's a lot to talk about. But the three categories are mastery of strength, proper decorum, generosity and joy. So mastery of strength. Men, you need to learn how to subdue the earth, exercise dominion over it. That means you must learn how to suffer. It means you must learn how to work hard. You need to improve your skill and whatever it is that you work at. God has called you to be strong and to act like a man. That is his word to you. That means you don't just lift heavy things just because you happen to have broad shoulders, that it's convenient for you to do so. No, God has given you broad shoulders in order that you would lift heavy things. There is purpose in your strength. It's given to you for a reason to be used. It's not a matter of convenience. It's how you're built. And because it's how you're built, it's what you're called to and called for. And you're going to find deep joy in walking the path that God has made you for. Your strength is given to you to tackle troubles with it, to take care of others. Testosterone has a purpose. We're not ashamed of it. It's what we're called to. When things go bump in the night, you'd better be the one to go check it out. But of course, there's more to mastery of strength that also involves self-control, self-rule, as we said earlier. Out of control, strength is a great destroyer. Fits of rage and violent outbursts are the things that destroy families, destroy churches, society. You must learn to master your passions. Men need courage because we live in a world where courage is needed. Men need a brotherhood where they are challenged and picked back up again when they fall down, because we do fall down. We need a brotherhood that understands the struggles that men face, the fears and the failures. Men need other men. And young men especially need older men to show them how it's done. Young men need older men to show them how to bleed for those they love. So young men, don't be afraid to bleed for those you love. It's one of the highest honors you will ever have. Learn how to do it and learn how to love it. It's awesome. Mastery of strength is a mix of courage, of self-control, and of the fear of the Lord. Courage, self-control, and fear of the Lord. Imagine families, churches, societies built on the broad shoulders of men like that. Second category is proper decorum. This includes things like respect and honor, dignity, and gravitas. It's been said this way: men should be a thermostat, not a thermometer. You set the temperature of your home. Men, you have the ability to raise up your family to the level of what a happy home should be, and you have the ability to drag it down into silence and sadness. Too often when we come home, we read the temperature of the struggles of the day, whatever that happens to be, and like a thermometer, our temperature drops to match the level of the struggles of the day. When we ought to be the thermostat that sets it up higher. Listen, your wife needs you to understand the proper decorum of how you enter a room and the effect you have on the people around you. You keep this in mind, men. Your presence should always elevate a room. It shouldn't dumb it down. We ought to bring joy into a room and not dread. As a leader, you have a responsibility to lead, and that means in this area as well. And we're not saying that you have to be perfect or to pretend to be something you're not. Sometimes you have a really bad day, bad month, bad 2 years. That happens. But we need to learn how to master our strength, master ourselves, exercise self-control over the troubles of the day, and don't dump them on your poor, unsuspecting wife the minute you come walking in the door. Self-control and then proper decorum. Raise the level of the room. And as a part of this, strangely enough for some of us, here's a little detour. That's a little bit funny. A man should know how to dress. Don't worry, no one's going to tell you what to wear. It's not going to be like that. There's actually one person who sometimes refers to me as Pastor Sweatpants. It's a bit of my Saturday superpower. Now, clothing can seem like a shallow thing, but it's actually not. In a real way, you communicate what you are thinking by what you are wearing. How you present yourself actually matters. Not because you want to make a fashion statement, but because you know your influence. You know the effect you have on others, especially your family. You treat yourself with dignity and respect, and others will too. Learning to dress appropriately for the proper occasion, and that might mean swimming trunks on the beach or a suit in church, whatever. Learning how to do that, that's something I'm still trying to figure out. Boy, I got a long way to go. It goes a long way in communicating to others what you think about whatever situation you're in, and what you think about the people you are with. There are some guys who do their very best to look as messy as possible. This used to be me, and I'm not really great at it yet, but I used to do the best to look as messy as possible. Guys do that. They want to look like they don't care about anything at all, and then they are continually confused as to why there are no ladies interested in them. Why they get no respect. And it's hard to respect someone who's communicating that he has no respect for you. This may seem shallow, and it's not the end of the world, but it's going to be a good conversation when we get there. Proper decorum brings gravitas to a man. There are some men, and you've met these men, when they enter a room, everyone sits a little straighter. Everyone is a little more respectful. And if it's done right, everyone feels safer and happier. A man ought to make his people feel safer and happier when he walks into a room. And you can do that by understanding proper decorum. That's much more than close. Peace and joy should be the result when daddy gets home. Proper decorum knows how to act like a thermostat, how to raise a room up and not dumb it down. And if you think that sounds a little silly, just hold on, we'll get there. The ladies get it, believe me. It's a wonderful gift that God has given to men, and we need to learn how to use that. Third category is generosity and joy. If we have mastery of strength and proper decorum by themselves, you often end up with a lot of arrogant men. Men, you need both generosity and joy. I once saw a video of Mike Tyson. He was inducting Muhammad Ali into some sports hall of fame. And Tyson was reflecting on his hero, and he said, "When I was the champ, Everything was mine. I was the king. He goes, I consumed everything around me, all the gold and all the money and the glory. It was mine because I was the king. He goes, and then I saw Ali. And for the first time, I saw a real king. He said, Ali gave everything, all the money and the glory. Ali was always pouring out. And Tyson said, I was no king. I was a fool. I saw a man who knew royalty, who knew generosity and joy. Kings give. Fathers give. Men give. They pour out riches and then they pour out some more. They never run out of supply because they know how to make more supply by work, by blood, sweat, and tears. By some good holy sweat, men are providers and they are to be kings. We are to be kings in our generosity, lavishing all the good things that our strength produces and lavishing that upon those we care about. A man is to be a fountain of blessing to his family, not a burden that they have to carry through life. Men should be marked by their generosity. Pour it out, guys. Men are made for joy. We need to learn how to laugh in the days of difficulty. How little I have laughed these past 2 years as I struggle with this actual thought. Your laughter assures those around you of your love for them and of your confidence in your God. Of the mastery of your strength as you raise the temperature of the room and the joy of your family as they hear your laughter and see your confidence as you exalt your God and believe in Him. Your families need your joy, guys. This church needs your joy. This room needs your joy. Your joy in times of trouble will lift the hearts of those around you in ways you have never dreamed of. Master yourselves and be sure of your God. And in the joy of the Lord, we fight for our families. We fight for our wives and our children. We fight for our gatherings. We fight for our world. And these aren't just empty words. You step into the battle for just a little bit and you're going to find out how real it is and how hard it is. God has given us strength because it's a task that requires strength. We want to learn how to master it. We want our young men to overflow with this joyful engagement in the battle. Live all, live merrily. Die all, die merrily. When a man fears God, he fears nothing else. It reminds me of that C.S. Lewis quote, famous quote, where Aslan is describing what it means to be a king. And he says this, to be a king means to be first in every desperate battle, last in every desperate retreat, and in times of famine to wear the finest clothes and to laugh the loudest over the scantiest meal. We want men to be kings like that. We want you to be kings like that. Take dominion. Now, this seems daunting, and it is. It's much easier said than done. And that is why we need one another. That's why we need the brotherhood. That's why young men need older men. That's why we need that cross-generation relationship to teach and to call up higher. Because we have what it takes, guys, to accomplish all of this. None of this is out of our reach. Not a bit of it. We absolutely have what it takes. So don't let fear stop you. Or even more deeply, perhaps, don't let shame stop you. There are so many men who have skill, who have potential, ability, and promise, and they never get out the front door because of fear and because of shame. Not because they don't have what it takes, they do. Fear and shame are destroyers of men. Satan loves the secrets. And he loves it when you believe his lies, that you don't have what it takes, that you can't act like men. So I would encourage each one of you as we head into these Wednesday nights to put the fear and the shame aside, step into the light, and walk as God would have you walk. Mastery of strength, proper decorum, generosity and joy, these should mark the lives of men. That's where we're headed. So I'm going to stop there. That gives you an idea of the direction that we're headed. The scriptures are going to show us the way. It's going to teach us the meaning of be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. God has said it, we believe it, and by the grace of God, we will live it. And amen to that. You're all invited back next week. We're going to do this again. I'll be addressing the ladies, and we'll have this discussion for the women. Before we stop for dessert, grab the song sheets in front of you, and we're going to sing. It is our rallying cry. To the word we go. That is where the answers are.